I'm Dan Pierce, and this is Pressure Cooker.
I said I will never wear the hijab or give up my mini skirts. Never.
It's the outrageous story of two misfits living on the fringes and how they became the central players in a sprawling terror investigation.
We just hung out and played video games and smoked weed and did what we do, you know.
Pressure Cooker is available on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hello, I'm Matt Galloway, and this is The Current Podcast. Last summer, the first case of CTE in a female athlete was confirmed. Chronic traumatic encephalopathy is a devastating neurodegenerative condition that can only be diagnosed after death. It's often linked to repeated head trauma from sports like football, hockey, and boxing. CTE can rob people of their memories, cause mood swings, and impact their mobility. But now there is a glimmer of hope. A massive study of 900 living athletes hoping to find solutions and provide warnings of potential issues before it's too late. The CBC's Katie Nicholson brings us the story of one of those athletes in her documentary, Boxer Brain.
Okay, give me two hooks to the body, then a left hook. That's enough of that. Can you work out today?
Edmonton's Cougar Boxing Club. It's the kind of gym you see in the movies. It's tucked away in a windowless basement of a community center.
Right hand, left hook, right hand.
The walls are heavy with championship belts, photos, and memories from its 50-year history. The people who come here mean business.
Do it again.
Especially the blonde being put through her paces in the ring.
So my name is Claire Hefner. And many things, but most recently I've been boxing professionally for the last 11 years out of a gym in Montreal, and I've just recently relocated here in Alberta.
Hefner first got into boxing while studying opera in Ottawa. She was having a difficult time with one of her instructors.
There was a sense of helplessness, and I found that through boxing, like, I could confront him and stand up to him, and so boxing really covered that gap of probably where I would have given up singing or just like disappeared in a hole, but it made me stronger and it made me push back. So it really gave me strength to finish that. And then once it got me through that, I was like, okay, I started competing. This is a great sport, hard physical sport, which I love. So it was many things that kept me in it. Every day, just being outside your comfort zone, it's really tough, but really good.
Now, 46, she's among the top women boxers in the world.
When you step into the ring, what's it like for you? Like, how does the world change?
Hyper-focused.
Yeah.
A sense of gratitude for having that opportunity. Thinking about what I'm going to do without trying to think about what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
If it's a fight, I try to think about
cross
how it'll feel like having my hand raised at the end.
Yep,
for that win.
Claire pounds the practice pads I'm holding. I try to brace against her powerful punches, but it isn't easy.
Jab, jab, cross. There are risks, obviously, with boxing. How do you sort of work through that when you're heading into the ring? How do you sort of balance that in your head?
I think you don't. For me, I can't. I think it's like anything. I get in a car and I don't think about what happens if I crash. But what I do is try and plan for every possible scenario to decrease possible risk. I have to say, injuries that are usually forefront on the mind, though, are a broken hand, a sore shoulder, a twisted ankle. But I seldom go deep into the fact of what's happening with my brain until I started to be part of this brain study in Vegas, and then everything came up.
Claire is part of a landmark study of 900 living athletes following the long-term impacts of repetitive head trauma. Every year, she undergoes a series of tests, and researchers fill her in on the toll boxing is taking on her brain health. If the results show a decline, Claire has decided she'll throw in the towel and retire from the sport she loves. She's been part of the study since 2020, and her next appointment is coming up.
I'm excited to know what's going on in this noggin. Mm-hmm. So there'll be relief when it's done. The next steps are decided.
Yeah. Is there a little bit of fear too, though, that this could
be the end?
Be the end, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's always that fear. And then trying to figure out what the next step is.
Over the years, Claire has clinched American and world titles. She grew up in the States, but she recently became a Canadian citizen. And there's one more trophy she wants.
I would love to fight for a Canadian title. The world title was fun, but I think being an immigrant, being Canadian now, like, it'll be hard to hang up the gloves without checking that box. Yeah.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Las Vegas, Nevada, USA.
Where Las Vegas, the fight capital of the world.
Champion. Let's get ready to rumble!
It's also home to the Cleveland Clinic Center for Brain Health, housed in a stunning, tangled architectural sculpture designed by Frank Gehry. It's 8 a.m., and Claire marches up beneath the building's swooping panels of metal and glass. First, there's paperwork, and then a brief wait. How are you feeling right now?
Oh, I'm properly nervous. Yeah.
What are you hoping for today?
I'm hoping that there hasn't been a decline in anything that's more than like normal aging or normal stress or normal exhaustion. I'm hoping for a really good, clean brain scan.
Hi. How you doing?
Claire hugs Rodrigo Palomino, the study coordinator who will conduct most of her testing today.
Hey. Ready for another year?
I am ready. I hope it's a good one.
It will be. Come on. Okay, so today we're doing the verbal memory test.
Okay.
We're doing the finger tapping test, symbol digit coding test. We'll be doing a Stroop test. And then the second half, you see where there's a gap right there?
Yeah.
So we're actually going to be doing questionnaires about how you've been feeling over the last month or the last 2 weeks.
These are hard, just so you know.
Yes, they are.
These computerized tests measure for changes in Claire's memory.
I'm going to show you 15 words, okay? I'm going to ask that you remember them because I'm going to ask you what they are later in the exam. Okay.
Oh, yes.
So skip over the incorrect ones, okay?
Okay.
All right, go ahead and hit enter whenever you're ready.
In another test, she has to react by furiously hitting a key to prompts on a screen.
That's great. Perfect.
I hate this test.
So now, we do the opposite hand.
Yeah, this is brutal. This is brutal. Okay.
Another key indicator they're testing, her balance.
We're doing this barefoot. And any knee or ankle injuries in the last 6 months?
No.
Claire snaps on some shoulder straps, and Rodrigo attaches an iPad to the back of the rig, which dangles and measures her movement.
Okay.
Okay.
Oops, yeah.
As she steps onto a big, squishy block of blue foam.
So this is the one where you have to lift one leg up, okay?
Why is that harder with the eyes closed?
It's your brain telling you that it doesn't trust the situation that it's in.
Three.
Go ahead.
Two. One.
Claire teeters and sways as the test gets increasingly difficult.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that was good.
Oh, it's brutal. This is what people who have like brain trauma actually feel like sometimes, mm-hmm. not just regularly.
They can't. That's why they have to walk with like a walker, a cane.
Yeah, wow.
Rodrigo takes Claire's blood to the lab to be analyzed for proteins, which could indicate head trauma. There are many of the same proteins associated with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's.
Okay.
While Claire changes into a hospital gown for her MRI.
Yes, go ahead and if you don't mind, put that on.
No, it's my best look.
And settles in for a long scanning session to capture her brain from every angle.
Just like that. All right, good.
Hello, I'm Jess Milton. For 15 years, I produced The Vinyl Cafe with the late, great Stuart MacLean. Every week, more than 2 million people tuned in to hear funny, fictional, feel-good stories about Dave and his family. We're excited to welcome you back to the warm and welcoming world of The Vinyl Cafe with our new podcast, Backstage at The Vinyl Cafe. Each week, we'll share two hilarious stories by Stuart, and for the first time ever, I'll tell you what it was like behind the scenes. Subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts.
Only about 100 of the study's participants are women. The bulk of what's known about head injuries is based on men's brains.
One of our gaps in understanding long-term effects of exposure to head impacts is having information on women, because oftentimes that we don't have that so much. So I think it's just important to be able to have more women participate.
Neurologist Dr. Charles Burnick has been one of the researchers leading the study. And as he and his team review the data, they're finding differences between the sexes.
One caveat to this is we have 800 men and 100 women, so we have a lot more men to study. But generally, in most of our analysis, the women do better. That may be for a lot of different reasons. So one of the paradoxes is that it's been said that women are more vulnerable, for example, to concussion and take longer to recover. Yet in our evaluation of long-term effects, it doesn't seem that they're at a higher risk. If we have two groups that are getting hit and the women are doing better, is there something biological that is protecting them?
The study began in 2011, and as it follows athletes through their retirement, they're making another remarkable discovery.
And what we found, as a group, people get better. Either get better or stabilize. So either their scores get better on the testing, some of the blood testing that we do seems to stabilize or improve, their MRI scans stabilize. So I think it just represents that when people are actively exposed to head impacts, it is changing the brain. And once you stop, there is this opportunity for repair.
Much of the work around CTE and traumatic brain injury is focused on athletes, but many of these studies are also looking to serve a wider audience, including people with neurodegenerative conditions.
So markers that are being used to diagnose Alzheimer's disease and new techniques used in Parkinson's disease, I think we can learn from what has been done in those fields to accelerate how we can learn more about these long-term effects of head impacts, and vice versa, as we learn perhaps things about whether exposure to head impacts is a risk factor down the line for Parkinson's, for Alzheimer's, it will give us a better sense of how we can intervene early, how can we prevent these long-term diseases by intervention earlier in life.
The study embraces athletes from combat sports, sports many medical professionals have traditionally advised against, things like rodeo, boxing, mixed martial arts.
Straight punches now landed by Faria into the clinch. And down goes Taylor Starling. That right there, Sean, I'm telling you, there's just a difference when Faria hits you.
That lack of judgment from the researchers is one of the things that appeals to world bare-knuckle boxing champ Christine Faria. She trains at the Vegas Combat Fight Club, not far from the clinic. Faria and I are leaning against one of the rings as fighters train all around us. She's one of the few other women in the study.
I haven't had any problems yet, but I'm sure, doctor, that I've seen year after year, we've kind of formed a relationship, and he's super cool. He's going to tell me, hey, look, I think it's time to quit. And I would accept that because he isn't judging me. He isn't just saying, oh, don't do this because it's bad for you. So I will believe him when he tells me to stop.
And staying in the ring means a lot to Faria. After street fights and run-ins with the police, she credits going pro with keeping her out of jail.
It saved my life. I could have been in a really dark place for a really long time. I remember being locked up and looking next to me, people, like, they were older. I was 18 years old, locked up for, I think I did a year, right when I turned 18. And just people with no teeth, just drug addicts, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old in there. I mean, that's their life, you know, and that's what they did their whole life. That could have been me if I didn't find this. So when I'm working hard and I get tired or I have to cut my weight or I'm, you know, getting punched in the face or, you know, taking a lot of damage, it's a tough sport. But what would be tougher for me would be that other lifestyle.
Women's combat sports are growing, and so is the debate on whether women's rounds should be as long as the men's.
There's not much research on how much damage we can take. Like, how many rounds can we do? Some people are saying we can't take the 3-minute rounds. Some people are saying we can. So a lot of it, they're saying it's just egotistical. The men don't think that we can do it. But I think with these tests, it'll be able to clarify that over time. Like, okay, can we take as much damage in the ring and still be cognitive after our career? Or should we dial it back to the 2 minutes? Because 3 minutes is too long for us, and we can't take that much damage. So I think it's a great thing to have. And especially for the female fighters, we don't have that research because we haven't been in combat sports for as long as men. And I mean, I'm glad I'm here doing it, and I'll be a part of that What scares you the most?
Scares me is like CTE.
Chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE, is a degenerative neurological condition linked to repetitive head trauma. It can only be diagnosed after death.
I've heard so many horror stories about CTE and with the athletes and with the football players, and then them snapping and then they don't know what they're doing.
Last year, the first case of CTE was diagnosed in a female athlete, an Aussie Rules footballer.
And like memory, I might get to a point where I don't remember things, or I don't know what I'm saying, I don't know who I'm talking to. But those are probably the two most scariest things that I hope don't happen. And that's why I like to do this study, because if he's like, hey, these are what's happening to your brain, this are going to be the consequences, I can make that decision to, you know, quit before that happens.
Dr. Burnick's team is looking for telltale signs of risk in living athletes like Claire Hafner and Christine Faria, with hopes of one day being able to identify people who are developing patterns of CTE before it progresses too far.
I'll show you kind of the areas that are...
In his office, Burnick pulls up an MRI of a male fighter.
Normally there's one membrane that separates the two sides, mm-hmm. but with a lot of impacts to the head, that will split.
Okay.
So you can see it's just split apart. So
yeah.
there's two, and it's just a marker of exposure to a lot of head impacts. We find it about 50% of males that fight, and it's a common finding in CTE brains.
Claire is sitting with those same fears as she waits for her results.
Hello, hello.
Hey, good to see you again.
Yeah, what's the update? How are you doing? Any changes as far as what you're seeing in yourself?
I struggle to sleep after a heavy sparring session, even though I'm absolutely
exhausted.
Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, is like the little red flag that maybe I got my bell rung.
Well, okay. I do want to check you out, but I will share with you kind of how you did.
This is stressful.
No. This is good.
I don't know.
Yeah.
First, her scores in all those memory, balance, and reaction time tests.
So we look for two things. One is just the trajectory of things over time, because this is, 5 years now. And you can see, I mean, just in general, it's a straight line. And you are superior to most people your age.
And then Dr. Burnick pulls up Claire's MRI scans.
This is the memory area, the hippocampus,
okay.
on both sides. It's pretty close. I mean, you see a little slit here, you see this, but they're not changed. This is, 5 years, 4 years. And if we go higher, just in the substance of the brain should have this consistency, which yours does. In other words, it doesn't show any scarring or the same. Now, we'll do more precise measurements, but just looking at it, doesn't look like there's any
concerning change or anything.
Right, correct.
No changes, but is it time for Claire to call it quits?
So, I don't think there's any red flags here. I'm glad you're wrapping up your career.
So I was just going to ask also because of age and like trying to get out before there's a lot of damage, but feeling like I've put so much into it, I still have the brain that's good enough to maybe go one more lap?
Yeah, sure.
Or do you throw in the towel when, like, I'm just teetering on that decision, and it's really hard.
Well, I think if you're asking, are you going to do irreparable harm to do one more fight? Of course not. I mean, because all this stuff is just cumulative. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Unless you got knocked out or something, I mean, then, you'd have a concussion, and you have to recover from it and all that. I just think, if you've achieved what you've wanted to achieve, it's better for your brain not to get hit.
I think we lose perspective too. It's so easy because you want that and you need that and you identify with that and you lose perspective that it's just, this is a small thing that could alter the rest of your life. And I know enough people who have damage from boxing to, I should put it into perspective more.
If you want to do this one more fight, be careful about it and then maybe shut it off.
Okay.
As the sky darkens, the bright carnival-like lights of the strip twinkle and play over Claire's face. She's had a few hours to think about her results and Dr. Burnick's words.
Okay, so we're in this town where everybody's always rolling the dice. So after your results today, are you thinking, like, are you going to roll the dice?
Yeah, I have to say after today, it's 100 times more tempting. Is there a Canadian title out there that I could, like, get my little hands on?
So you're rolling the dice.
Yeah, I think I'm going to roll the dice. What is it, lucky sevens?
Yeah. Could be.
The documentary Boxer Brain was produced by the CBC's Katie Nicholson in conjunction with the CBC's audio documentary unit.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.